All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 17. And in this passage here, if you look down at verse number 4, the Bible says, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." Paul and Silas are in Thessalonica, and they are preaching the gospel like they always do, normally do, and they're seeing people saved, and they're seeing things done there, but troubles come to them in Thessalonica. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." So, because they're getting people saved and because they're seeing a great work done, those people who are against the work of God decide to set the city in an uproar. And they basically create this riot where they're coming after Paul and Silas and anyone who is helping them. And skip down to verse number 10. And in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea." So they were in Thessalonica, but because things are not going well in Thessalonica, they basically smuggled them out of the city, and they sent them to this other city, Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. I like that about Paul. He had problems in Thessalonica, but when he gets to Berea, he just keeps doing the same thing. He just goes to the synagogue, same thing he was doing before, still preaching Jesus, still preaching the gospel. And in verse number 11, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, and it's a well-known verse that we've looked at many times before. In verse number 11, the Bible says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." And I want you to notice and key in on this phrase here, "Search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." The Bible tells us that a key characteristic of the church in Berea and the fact that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, meaning they were better than those in Thessalonica. And the Bible tells us the reason for that is because they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And I want to just talk to you for a few moments this morning on the subject of searching the scriptures daily and having a time in the Word of God every day. We have coming up here in the next several weeks, we're going to obviously begin the new year. And in January of 2016, we always have, January is Bible Month at Verity Baptist Church. And what we do in the month of January is we challenge the entire church to read 9 chapters of the Bible every day in the month of January. And what that means is, if you were to read 9 chapters every day, you would have 2 grace period days. So if you get behind a little bit, you have a couple days there to help you out. But if you read 9 chapters of the New Testament every day in the month of January, you would read the entire New Testament in the month of January. And you know, you may say, "Oh, that sounds like a lot." And oftentimes people will think like, "I can't read 9 chapters every day." But you'd be surprised how many people think they can't read 9 chapters a day, and then they go and do it, and then they realize it's not as hard as they think, you know, and they're able to get it done. And some people will read the New Testament in our church. You know, we give you the entire month of January. Every year there are people that are done by the 15th, you know. There are people that are done the first 2 weeks or the first 3 weeks. So we want to encourage you to read the Bible, and here's the reason why. Most Christians today do not read the Bible. In fact, most Christians have never read the Bible cover to cover, and those that have read the Bible cover to cover have only read it maybe once or twice or 3 times in their whole life. And the Bible tells us that a characteristic of a church that was noble, a church that was better, a church that had Christians in it that God would say, these are noble Christians. What made them that way was that they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, this morning I want to give you 3 reasons why you ought to search the scriptures daily. And for those of you that like to take notes, I'll give you 3 points. Point number 1, you ought to search the scriptures daily to not be led astray. Notice what the Bible says there in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." Now, I want you to understand, these people did not have a bad attitude. They weren't sitting there just kind of with their arms crossed and just waiting to hear something that they didn't like, just waiting to hear something that they didn't agree with so they can have a reason to quit church. And we have people like that all over today. People will show up and they're just looking for an excuse to leave. You know, they go to this church, then they go to the church down the street, then they go to another church, and they're just hopping from church to church, you know, because they're looking for that perfect church. But here's the problem with the perfect church. If you find it, you'll ruin it as long as you don't join it. because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And Verity Baptist Church isn't perfect. But here, these people, they didn't have this bad attitude. In fact, the Bible says they received the word. When Paul stood up to preach, they wanted to hear it. They wanted to listen. They wanted to grasp it. It says they received the word, notice, with all readiness of mind. Their minds were ready. They were prepared. They had prepared themselves before the church service to imagine what would happen at Verity Baptist Church if every single one of you and every single one of us, every Sunday before church and every Sunday night before church and every Wednesday night before church, if we took the time to prepare our hearts and say, I want to get ready to receive the word. You know, I want to get ready to hear what God has to say. But here the Bible tells us that they received the word with all readiness of mind. This speaks of their attitude. They had a proper attitude. They wanted to hear. They wanted to learn. But notice, and search the scriptures daily. Why did they do that? Notice, whether those things were so. See, this speaks of their desire to not be led astray. See, they had a good attitude. They said, Paul's coming to preach, and Paul's going to preach on Sunday morning, and Paul's going to preach on Sunday night, and we want to be ready to receive his word. We want to have all readiness of mind. We want to grasp it. But they said, even Paul, could be wrong. And even Paul may lead us astray. And they received it, but they didn't just receive it. Then they searched the scriptures. Then they went home and read every day. They read the Bible and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. See, you got to understand this. You've got to get to the place in your life where you don't have a bad attitude. You don't have a critical attitude. You don't have a negative attitude. But where you say, I'm going to find it out for myself. I appreciate the sermons and I appreciate the preaching, but then I'm going to go home and I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to go home and I'm going to memorize scripture. I'm going to go home and I'm going to figure out what the Bible says, because the Bible says that they search the scriptures daily whether those things are so. Now, you're there in the book of Acts. Go to the book of Ephesians. If you go past the book of Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. You've got to understand that there are people out there who want to lead you astray. We are in a spiritual warfare, and there are false prophets. There are bad people out there that want to lie to you. Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. Ephesians 4:14 says this, that we henceforth, the word henceforth means from here on. He says that we henceforth be no more children. Notice, now you say, well, what? And he's talking about spiritual maturity here. He's saying that you spiritually be no more children, that you would mature as a Christian. And what is the qualification? What is the characteristic of a spiritual immature child? Notice what he says. That we henceforth be no more children. Notice what he says. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, if you are the type of Christian who says, well, today I believe this, but then I watch this video on YouTube, and now I believe this. Or today, you know, I used to think that, but then I want, you know, I listen to this guy on the radio, and now I believe this. If you're the type of Christian who's always constantly changing their doctrine, changing their belief, being carried about with every wind of doctrine, that just shows us that you are an immature Christian. Now, let me say this. As Christians, we need to understand that we may be wrong, and we need to have an open mind and an open heart to be corrected. And from time to time, someone may show us the Bible, and they may show us something, and we may say, man, you know, I was incorrect in that position, or I used to believe that, and I was incorrect, and I'm going to change that. We ought to be humble enough to be able to change that. But listen to me. You ought to be humble enough to change that, but you also should have enough discernment to where it's not just like, well, I just heard one good message. It was just one eloquent speaker. Now I don't believe that anymore. Hey, if something is confronted, someone confronts you with the Word of God and is different than what you've been taught, you say, well, what should I do? Search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I mean, you ought not just take everything you hear and take. People often come to me and say, oh, you know, so-and-so preached this. What do you think? It's like, I'm not going to change what I believe. And sometimes we get mad at the independent Baptist, right? Because it's like, you know, I get phone calls from people that listen to my preaching online or Pastor Anderson or Pastor Romero, whatever. And they're like, I told my pastor, you know, to listen to this sermon, and he just won't change on it. I think to myself, like, good night. Your pastor's been preaching that for 40 years. I'm glad he didn't change on it the first time you showed up and told him he was wrong. You've been saved for 3 weeks, been listening to Pastor Anderson for 3 weeks, and you want to show up and tell a guy who's been in the ministry for 40 years that he's wrong. I'm glad he's not listening to you. I'm glad I'd rather he go and search the scriptures for himself and study it for himself. Now, he ought to be humble enough to say, hey, I was wrong about that. But we ought not be children just tossed to and fro. You know how many times I have people show up at Verity Baptist Church and tell me just complete garbage? I mean, just tell me things and I think to myself, you have no clue what you're talking about. You've never read the Bible cover to cover, not even once, and you want to tell me that we're wrong on salvation, or you want to tell me that we're wrong on this stand, or we're wrong about the King James Bible because you listened to some guy talk about the Greek. You don't speak Greek. You don't read Greek. You don't even know what the Bible, you never even read the Bible in English, much less Greek, but you want to tell us, you know, why we're wrong on the King James issue. And we've got to mature, and you've got to get to the place where you search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. And here's the problem. Here's the danger with listening to just whoever on the TV, your little TV preachers. Here's the problem with listening to the radio preacher. And here's the problem to listen to the, you know, just whatever video on YouTube. The problem is this. Notice Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Notice these words. By the sleight of men. That word sleight, you ever heard this phrase before? Sleight of hand. It's talking about being deceived. You know, someone will do a magic trick and it's like, oh, was it magic? No, just sleight of hand. They were just quick. They just tricked you. Notice, by the sleight of man and cunning. The word cunning means skilled. Craftiness. The word craftiness means subtle or deceitful. Whereby they lie. Notice the words. Lie in way to deceive. See, the problem with false preachers. See, people get this idea like, oh, I'm just going to listen to this preacher on the internet who's not saved. And I'm going to read this book by someone who's not saved. And I'm going to know when they're wrong. Here's the problem with false preachers. When they bring the false doctrine up, when they bring the bad doctrine up, they do it slightly. They do it subtly. They deceive you into thinking that it's right. And you know, let me explain something to you. As a pastor, you know, I read books, and I like reading books, and I get that, and that's fine. As a pastor, I may read a book by someone who's maybe like, who's another pastor that maybe takes a more liberal stand than we do. Because good night. I mean, virtually everyone takes a more liberal stand than we do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, there's very few people out there that take stronger stands than Verity Baptist Church, you know? I may read a book by a pastor who takes maybe a slightly more liberal stand than we do in maybe different areas or whatever. But I always try to make sure that I read books by people that are saved. I'm not going to read a book by some tongue-speaking Pentecostal that's not saved. I'm not going to read a book by some, you know, Calvinist. I'm not going to read a book by a Jehovah's Witness. You know, I may read a book by, you know, Pastor so-and-so, who's an independent Baptist, and maybe he's a little more liberal, but at least he's saved, you know. But hey, you got to be careful about allowing yourself to be able. I'm not going to listen to preaching on YouTube by some guy who's a Reformed Baptist, who's not saved, who's a Calvinist, who doesn't believe in salvation by grace through faith, who doesn't believe that salvation is whosoever will may come. You got to be careful about those things. Just whatever video on the internet, whatever, you know, preacher on the radio, whatever preacher on TV, because they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. You say, why would I search the scriptures daily? Why would I read the Bible every day so that you not be led astray? Some of you need to just, you need to just get this idea. I'm going to be as faithful to my Bible reading as I am to YouTube. I'm going to be as faithful to my Bible reading as I am to Facebook. I'm going to be as faithful to my Bible reading as I am to the newspaper. You know, you need to just develop this idea that I'm going to be faithful. Because notice, it doesn't say they searched YouTube daily. It doesn't say they searched commentaries daily. It doesn't say they searched their devotional book daily. It says they search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. Why would you search the scriptures daily? Why should you read the Bible every day? Number one, you search the scriptures to not be led astray. You search the scriptures so that people don't lie to you. You search the scriptures so that Pastor Jimenez doesn't lie to you. There's a reason why we read the entire chapter in its context before we begin the service, so you can see it in its context. And there's nothing that's ever preached at this in this pulpit that we say, well, you know, you don't have the understanding because I speak Greek and you don't and you can't get it, so let me just tell you what the Bible says. Hey, everything that's preached on this pulpit, you can go home and read your Bible and study it out for yourself. And if somebody asks you, you know, well, what do you believe about this or what do you believe about that? If your answer is, well, that's what Pastor Jimenez said, that's the wrong answer. You ought to search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. You ought to know what you believe. You ought to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to search the scriptures to not be led astray. And let me just go ahead and say something. If you haven't, this is the kind of fundamentalism that I grew up in. I grew up in a church where this is what we were told. If you have not read your Bible cover to cover at least 5 times, you have no business reading any other spiritual books. And I believe that. You say, I got my little book here about parenting. It's going to teach me what the Bible says. If you have not read your Bible cover to cover at least 5 times, put the book away and read the Bible. I'm going to read this book about theology. Why don't you read the book about theology? Why don't you read the Word of God? Put all that stuff away if you've not read your Bible cover to cover at least 5 times. I agree with that. I believe with that. I was taught that, and I said, I will never read any other books till I've read this book 5 times cover to cover. You say, well, can you prove that from the Bible? I can't prove it from the Bible, but it's a good stance. I think it's a good idea. So, well, I'm just gonna read this other book, and I'm gonna take in what's good and not what's bad. How do you know what's good or bad if you've not read the Bible? How do you know what they're saying is good or bad if you don't even know what the Bible says? And this is a deep book. You've got to read it at least 5 times just to get your bearings. I mean, just to be able to just open up the Bible in any moment and just kind of know what's going on in the story, you've got to read it a lot. You say, well, 9 chapters a day, that's a lot, because it's a big book and you need to read it a lot. And we need to make up for a lot of lost time, because you've watched a lot of videos on YouTube, but you haven't done a lot of Bible reading. And you've listened to a lot of MP3 files, but you haven't done a lot of Bible reading. And you've gone to a lot of church services, which is great, but you haven't done a lot of Bible reading. So why would you search the scriptures daily? To not be led astray. Go to 1 John. Towards the end of the New Testament, you've got the book of Revelation. If you go backwards, you got Jude, then you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, look at verse number 1. 1 John 4:1. Listen to me. I'm all for listening to preaching online. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I listen to preaching online all the time. I listen, you know, to Pastor Anderson and Pastor Berzins, Pastor Romero. I listen to different fundamental Baptists that I like or whatever, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I don't listen to preaching online before I read my Bible. I don't listen to preaching online before I get alone with God, with the Word of God, and let the Bible. And you may want to just cut down the preaching online until you've read your Bible cover to cover. 1 John 4:1 says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try." The word try means to put to the test. But try the spirits whether they are of God. Say, why would you do that? Because many false prophets are gone into the world. See, sometimes someone knocks on your door and they're an independent fundamental Baptist with a King James Bible that's preaching the Word of God. And when they come to your door and they start talking to you, don't just believe them because they came to your door. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because sometimes they knock on your door and they say, you know, that Jesus wasn't really God. You know, there really isn't a heaven and a hell. You know, it's, you know, Jesus isn't Jehovah. Or, you know, there's more than just one God. And they come to you. Not everybody has the Bible is a prophet of God. The Bible says that you need to try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. The reason that that there are many going down the wide gate, the broad way, is because there are many false prophets. And you got to understand this. False doctrine comes from those who don't know their Bible. False doctrine comes from those who don't know their Bibles. 1 Timothy 1:6 says this, "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings." People want to just talk about the stupidest things that don't matter. Vain janglings, just dumb questions. So, you know, I grew up, people told me, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Become a pastor, okay? You'll be asked some dumb questions. And the Bible talks about the fact that there are dumb questions that don't need. People want to ask me, you know, there's a movement in our Christianity. I'm even embarrassed to say there's a movement in our Christianity, and they're like, the Bible teaches that the earth is flat. What do you think about that, Pastor? I'm just like, I think it's round. You know, like I don't think it's flat. You know, I mean, but we got these people, and here's what they're looking for: just the new thing, the new doctrine, just the new fad. I just want to come up with a new thing so that I can seem smart. Hey, why don't you just stick to the old book and read the Bible? Search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bible says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They want to explain to you all these things. They can't show it to you in the Bible. They want to explain to you why you're wrong about all these things, but they can't prove it from the Bible. They have a desire to be teachers of the law, but they can't affirm it. They can't confirm it. They don't even understand what they say, nor whereof they affirm. So number one, search the scriptures. Why? To not be led astray. Number two, for those of you who like to take notes, search the scriptures to not live in sin. Search the scriptures to not live in sin. Go to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5. People comment on our YouTube page. You got to change the globe in the back of your... It's like, good night. Please don't watch our videos anymore. We don't need you. Anyway, Leviticus chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 5, 17. Notice what it says. And if a soul sin, and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord. Do you know that in the Bible there are commandments? And the purpose of the commandments are sometimes to forbid certain things, or sometimes they tell you to do certain things. They're to regulate our lives, not for salvation, but just to live lives that are pleasing to God, lives that are blessed. Notice what it says. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, notice what it says. Though he wist it not. Okay, that word wist means knew or understood. Here's what it's saying. Though he did not know it, though he did not understand it, though he wist it not, notice, don't miss this, you got to underline this in the Bible, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this, if there's a commandment in the Bible, if God told you to do something or God told you not to do something, because we know that if you don't do that which is good, it's a sin. And the Bible says if God commanded something and you broke that commandment, whether you wist it not, whether you knew it not, whether you understood it or not, the Bible says, notice, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. See, if the Bible says you're supposed to do this and you just don't do it and you say, well, I didn't know the Bible said that. God says you're still guilty and you'll still bear your iniquity because God gave you a Bible to learn and to read and to study and to find what God wants you to do with your life. You're not going to be able to go to God and say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't know that that was a sin. I didn't know that that wasn't pleasing to God. You know, the Bible says, even if, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty. Though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Some people say, well, I didn't know I was sinning, but you're still guilty and God will still punish you and God will still judge you and God will still chastise you and God will still, you know, and the blessings or the curse that come as a result of that will still come, whether you knew it or not. You got to understand that. Let me give you a perfect example. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. People say, well, you know, what kind of sins are there out there that we don't know about, you know? Let me give you the example that, you know, when I think of this is the number one example that comes to mind. Because as a pastor, this is the one that I have to deal with the most. And it's the sin of fornication. Because the Bible is very clear about what it teaches about fornication, but here's what I've noticed. Most Christians have no clue what the Bible says about fornication. And here's why they don't know, because they've never read. Because they've never searched the scriptures daily. Because they are sinning, yes, maybe ignorantly, they are sinning and they wist not, but the Bible says they're still guilty and shall bear their iniquity. Now you say, well, what are you talking about in fornication? Okay, are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Look at verse number 13. Notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now notice what he says. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Okay? Now here we're told the body is not for fornication. Now, here's a clear command. God says, I don't want you to use your body for fornication. Now let me just go ahead and explain what fornication is, because a lot of people don't really understand these terms. Fornication is having a physical relationship outside of marriage, or I should say before marriage. Okay? The Bible uses the word adultery for people who have, you know, a physical relationship outside of marriage. But when two people are not married and they unite together physically, God calls that fornication. The Bible says that the body is not for fornication. Look at verse number 18, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Notice what God says. Flee fornication. He says, run from it. And young people, listen to me. You kids, you're still pure. Hey, you know, you're going to be in situations and times where some boy wants to put his hands on you, young ladies, or some girl wants to put her hands on you, young man. You got to flee fornication. Like Joseph, you got to run out of the house, you know. Just flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And there's something about this, you know, sins that are physical in the sense of a man and a woman or coming together. That linger in people's minds and hurt people's minds. You often don't have to counsel someone or talk to someone. You know, they don't come to me, you know, and say, 10 years ago I shoplifted, you know, and it's just been bothering me. But people will come to me and say, 10 years ago, I did this, or I did, you know, there was this abuse, or there was that. Because there's something about that physical sin that hurts you. And that's why he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now notice what the Bible says, and here's what most people don't know about fornication. Go to chapter 5, all right? You're there in chapter 6. Flip one page over to chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible teaches that people who live in fornication should get kicked out of church, should not be part of church. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about people that are not married, sleeping together or having physical relationship. And we're talking about people that are shacking up. They're living together, but they're not married. Notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication. I want you to cue in on these words, among you. Do you see that? Because that word comes up a lot. Notice what he says. There is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be, notice what he says, taken away from among you. Do you see that? The Bible says there's fornication among you in verse 1, but in verse 2 it says that he might be taken away from among you. Go down to verse number 6. You can read the entire chapter later for your own benefit, but just look down at verse number 6 for sake of time. He says, for your glorying is not good. Because they were like boasting about how they were dealing with the situation. He said, you're dealing with it all wrong. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He said, don't you know that a little sin spreads? Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven. The word purge means to get rid of, to take out. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, before he says that about a little leaven, leaven of the whole lump, he's talking about fornication. After he says that about a little leaven, leaven of the whole lump, he's talking about fornication. Look at verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. So that phrase, because we'll often use that phrase about a little leaven, leaven of the whole lump, and you know, in general, yes, it's talking about sin, but specifically in its context, it's talking about fornication. And here's a reason why we should not allow fornicators to be part of Verity Baptist Church. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And it's not worth having fornicators here. Listen, I've got a son who's 8 years old and a son who's 6 years old and a daughter who's 4 years old and a daughter who's 1 year old. And I cannot afford, and you cannot afford with your children to allow them to grow up in a church where people are just openly living in fornication, where people are just openly shacking up and saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. We're not married. I can't afford that. You know why? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I can't have my kids grow up thinking that's okay. I can't have my kids growing up thinking that's normal. I need to make sure my kids grow up, and I need to make sure your kids grow up knowing and understanding and realizing that God takes a stand against fornication. And you say, well, I went to the liberal church down the street, and I went to Rick Warren's church, and I went to Joel Osteen's church, and I listened to this guy on the radio, and they never said that. Because most Christians don't search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. But he says, purge. He says, purge out the leaven. Notice verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. The word company means companionship or fellowship. He said, don't spend time with, don't have company with, don't fellowship with fornicators. Verse 10, yet not altogether with fornicators of the world. Now, this is important, okay? He says, I'm not talking about the people out there in the world. Because here's the thing about the people out there in the world. They're all fornicating. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, and them, for then you must needs to go out of the world. You know, he says, if I meant for you to not company or spend time with fornicators, he said, you couldn't work anywhere, you couldn't go to any grocery store, you couldn't, you know, he's like, because then you'd have to come out of the world. He's like, that's not what I'm talking about. Notice verse number 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that, here's the key words, called a brother, be a fornicator. Do you see that? Here's what he's saying. If someone has a testimony of being a brother, if someone says, I'm brother so-and-so, I'm sister so-and-so, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and they are a fornicator, notice verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. And by the way, it's not just fornication, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. He said, don't even sit down and have a meal with these people. Now, but the key is this, okay? Any man that is called a brother. Because here's what we don't do at Verity Baptist Church. We don't have like a, you know, a couple walks in, they're holding hands, and we say, before you can come in, we need to know your marital status. Let us see a marriage license. Okay, that we don't do that, all right? You know, people walk in all the time, you know, and someone's a first-time guest or someone's just coming for a few weeks. They're a brand-new Christian, and they don't really know, you know, that's fine. We're going to give them time to grow. We're going to give them grace. We're going to help them. But listen to me very carefully. As soon as that person starts having a testimony of being a believer, as soon as that person, you know, becomes faithful, people know them, people will walk up to them and say, hey, brother so-and-so, hey, sister so-and-so. At that point, that person needs to make a decision, either, you know, get out or get married. And by the way, that's, you know, what's the cure for fornication? Go to Acts chapter 7. Look at verse number 2. People, because I'll preach this from time to time, and people are like, oh no, pastor, I'm living in fornication. What am I supposed to do? And it's like they have this, like, you know, this huge problem. Like, what am I going to do? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Here's the answer. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. It's not that complicated. Here's what you do. You go down to the state house. You say, I want to get married. You say your vows. You sign the paper. And you get married. Or you stop living together. Or you leave the church because you're going to live in sin. And, you know, here's the thing. At Verity Baptist Church, there's definitely been times where I had to go to couples and say, hey, listen, you've been here long enough. You heard me preach it long enough. You need to make a decision right now. You need to get out or you need to get married. And some people say, we're leaving. You say, pastor, you want them to leave? I don't want them to leave, but I can't afford to have them here because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And sometimes people say, we're going to get married. Or sometimes people say, you know, we're going to stop living together. And we've had people get married who, you know, we're living for. And praise the Lord for that. And that's great. But listen to me. Here are your choices. Get married, stop living together, or go somewhere else. Because the Bible says, and people will say this, I've never heard that before. But here's why. Because Christians don't read their Bibles. And you got churches filled with contemporary Christian liberals who walk into church with their flip-flops and their Starbucks, and they think they serve God, and they think they worship God, and they put their hands up, and they think they love God, and the whole time they're living in sin. And don't even know it. They wist not, but guess what? The Bible says they're still guilty. And God will still punish them. Let me give you another example. Go. You're there in 1 Corinthians 7. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I talked about this a few weeks ago. But let me talk about it again. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 34. A few weeks ago, I read this verse, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Notice, don't miss this, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And I was talking about the fact that the Bible says, hey, women should keep silence in the churches. And people say, well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. Don't open your mouth during the church service. Notice verse 35. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. A woman ought not stand up behind the pulpit and speak. We're never going to have a woman get up here and read. We're never going to have a woman get up here and give a testimony. Women ought not be saying amen during the church service. Why? For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And here, whenever I preach that, here's what people say to me. I've never heard that. And I get that. You're not going to get that from Rick Warren. You're not going to get that from Charles Stanley. You're not going to get, you know why you're not going to get that from these big names? Because they don't want to offend you, because they want your money. But we need to have a church, a Verity Baptist Church, filled with Christians that search the scriptures daily. Whether those things are so. I mean, is it true that the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches? Is it true that the Bible says that you ought to purge out the fornicator? Is it true? You know, what we preach and teach here, if it's from the Bible, then you ought to believe it. And if it's not from the Bible, then go somewhere else that is preaching the Bible. But this is not the, you know, people have this, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't like it. And here's what they decide. What I like determines, you know, I like Joel Osteen. I like what he says. But here's the thing. But does he say what the Bible says? Because here's what Joel Osteen says. Muslims go to heaven. Here's what Joel Osteen says. Hindus go to heaven. Here's what Joel Osteen says. You know, I don't know if you believe in Jesus Christ or not. I mean, he said that on national TV. Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. See, and you got to get this aside. Do I care what the Bible says? Does it matter what the Bible says? Or do I just want to play this game of Christianity? Because here's the thing. If you just want to play this game of Christianity where you come to church with little flip-flops, you come to church with little Starbucks, and I just feel spiritual, go do that somewhere else. We're not interested. We're a church where the Bible is preached. We're a church that believes the Word of God. We're a church, and we need to be a church that searches the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Why? So that you're not led astray. Why? So that you don't live in sin. So you get the sin out of your life. Listen to me. If you come to Verity Baptist Church for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, and you are just as sinful as you were when you got here, we are failing. Our job is to get the sin out of you. Our job is to preach the sin out of you. Our job is to preach the filthiness out of you. Our job is to preach the word of God so that you are transformed. See, the goal is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number one, search the scriptures to not be led astray. Number two, search the scriptures to not live in sin. Number three, search the scriptures to not lack strength. Go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 13. Now, when you get to Matthew, do me a favor and put your ribbon there or bookmark or whatever you want, because we're going to leave Matthew and come back to it. And listen, we're not mean, angry. We show grace. People are, you know, saying, I've never heard that before. Hey, we'll give you a couple weeks. Go get married. You know, I didn't know the Bible, Pastor, I didn't know the Bible said that women weren't supposed to say amen. Hey, we'll show grace. Just stop doing it. Pastor, I just didn't know the Bible said. Hey, it's fine. Just when you hear what the Bible says, just correct it. Just search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Matthew 13, look at verse number 5. Matthew 13, look at verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. Here's a parable that Jesus gave, famous parable. Notice what he says. He says, some fell upon stony places. I'm not going to give you the whole parable. You can read that on your own. He says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. Now, I want you to notice. He's talking about a certain seed that had not, the Bible says, had not much earth. Here's what that means. They were shallow. Here's what that means. They did not have deep roots. And forthwith they sprung up. Now here's what's interesting. They sprung up. They grew quickly. Why? But why did they grow quickly? Here's why. Because they had no deepness of earth. Now, you and I would think, well, that doesn't make any sense. They grew fast because they were shallow. But notice what also happens because they're shallow. Look at verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they were shallow, they had no root, notice, they withered away. See, they sprung up fast because they were shallow, but guess what? They also withered away because they were shallow. And you know it's true. How fast do weeds spring up, you know, in your front yard, your backyard? Fast. But how easy is it to pull a weed up? It's really easy. You know why? Because there's no deepness. There's no root. How long does it take for a tree to grow and mature? It takes a long time. But how easy is it can you just walk up the tree and just, you know, you can't do that. It takes a lot of work to get a tree out of the ground. You know why? Because it has deep roots. Now notice what the Bible says. That was the parable. Look at the interpretation. Verse number 20, Matthew 13, verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. But he that receives seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Now I don't have time to go there, but in Luke chapter 8, it actually tells us that these people believed. It says, for they for a while believed. Okay, but notice what happened. Verse 21, yet hath no root in himself. Now, I want you to key in on these words, but dureth for a while. Dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he is offended. See, the Bible says that Christians who don't have a deep root, they don't last very long. They might spring up real fast, but they dureth for a while. Why? Why? Because when persecution arises, because of the word, by and by they're offended. As soon as things get hard, as soon as things get difficult, as soon as, and people say, well, is it because of the word? Some of you aren't going to come back after this because of the word, because the Bible was preached, and you're like, I can't believe he said that. It's like, I didn't say, yesterday I was talking to someone, out sowing, some Jehovah's Witness, and he's trying to tell me that the Bible says that hell doesn't last forever. And I said, I read to him from the book of Revelation where it says, tormented day and night forever and ever, talking about hell. And I said, do you see how it says that they're tormented day and night forever and ever? And he said, I don't like how you interpreted that. I'm thinking to myself, I didn't interpret it. I just read it to you. I'm like, there was no commentary. I just read to you. I didn't like how you read it. I'm like, what does that mean? You know, like, it says tormented day and night forever and ever. But here's what people say. I don't care what the Bible says. And this is what this guy said to me. He said, I would rather believe in a God that doesn't send people to hell. And here's what he said. I'd rather just make up my own God. I thought, wow. I said, you know what? Here's the problem. When you stand before God, you're not going to stand up with the God that you made up in your own mind. You'll stand up before the God of this Bible. And the problem, you know, you just got to decide, you know, do I believe the Bible? But here the Bible says they were offended when tribulation or persecution, when things got hard, when things got difficult because of the word, by and by they were offended. He didn't last long. You know why? Because he had no root. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did you keep your place in 2 Corinthians? I don't remember if I told you to keep your place there. But just go to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. We're going to come back to Matthew. I did tell you to put your bulletin in Matthew. I remember saying that. So we're going to come back to it. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know why most Christians don't last very long? You know why statistically we're told that if you can get a Christian connected into a church and really connected, discipled, growing, on average you'll have them for 3 years? If they make it past the three-year mark, you're having for 7 years. Most Christians don't go to church for more than 7 years. Some of you are getting close. But you know what? There are some Christians. And I thank God for my mom and dad who've been faithful to church for, I don't know how many years. How many years you guys been going to church? 40 years? Something like that? I shouldn't be saying. Well, my dad's been 40 years. My mom's only been like 20 years, okay? Because she's a young, you know. But you know why some Christians will just live faithfully for decade after decade after decade. You know why? Because those Christians have figured out that their source for strength is not YouTube. Their source for strength is not that internet preacher you like. Their source for strength is not that radio preacher, that TV preacher, or even the preacher in this pulpit. Their source for strength is developing a systematic studying of the Word of God, searching the Scriptures daily. Whether those things were so. Notice what the Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians 6, 4. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, good night, 4, 8. 2 Corinthians 4, 8. Notice what the Bible says. Paul had a rough go at it. He said, we are troubled on every side. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Notice verse 16. You say, well, why? Why are you troubled on every side and not distressed? Why are you perplexed and not in despair? Why are you persecuted and not forsaken? Why are you cast down and not destroyed? Here's why. Here's the key. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Here's what he says. But though the outward man perish, he says, though the outside's falling apart, though people are talking bad about me and persecuting me and stabbing me in the back, he says, though the outward man perish, he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said, I understood. He said, I get it. He said, I got it. That if I search the Scriptures daily, if every day I get alone with God, if every day I renew, the outward man may be falling apart. They might be taking my house. They might be taking my job. They might be taking my car. They might be taking my health. They might be attacking me outwardly. It's tribulation. It's persecution. I'm distressed. But if inside, I'm renewed day by day. He says, I can make it. I can make it to the end. I can last for a long time. And here's a question I have for you. Are you going to be the Christian that makes it 3 years and then we don't see you again? 7 years and we don't see you again? Are you going to be that Christian that 20 years from now and 30 years from now and 40 years from now, Lord willing, we can say so-and-so's been with us for decades. He's been faithful decades. But here's the difference. What will get you there? Being renewed daily. The inward man is renewed day by day. Day. Search the Scriptures today. Can you go back to Matthew? Matthew chapter 12. We're almost done. I want to show you just a couple things, and we'll finish up. The answer is to read your Bible every day. The answer is to read your Bible every day. And listen, you can read 9 chapters a day. If I can read 9 chapters a day, you can read 9 chapters a day. I'm not a very good reader, but I've been able to do it, and you can do it too. And the Bible says we can all do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Matthew chapter 12. The problem is people don't read their Bibles. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 2. I want to just show you a couple things. We'll finish up. Notice what the Bible says. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees are coming to Jesus, and they're accusing him. Your disciples are doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Now notice what Jesus says, verse 3. But he said unto them, have ye not read? He says, have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him? He said, you are accusing us of doing something wrong, but have you not read? He said, haven't you read your Bible and know that it's okay what they're doing? Verse 4, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Verse 5, or have you not read in the law How on the Sabbath days the priest and in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Go to Matthew chapter 19. You're there in Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse number 3. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 3. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Go to Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 29. Matthew 22, they come to him and say, well, you know, is it okay to do this? And here's how Jesus responds. Have you not read? He said, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? Matthew 22, look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, here's a little different. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And by the way, that's how you know the power of God, by knowing the scriptures. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, notice what he says, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God saying, and he goes on and corrects them. Over and over, and we can go to the other Gospels and show, over and over in the Bible, Jesus is constantly telling the Pharisees when they come to him with their problems and their issues and their sin and their false doctrine and their errors, and he says, you know, the problem is you just haven't read. The problem is you just haven't read. The problem is you do err not knowing the scriptures. And people want to say, you know, let me argue with you about this doctrine. I've gotten to the point where someone wants to argue me about doctrines. Here's the first question I ask him. Have you read your Bible cover to cover? Even once? And if the answer is like no, I'm like, get away from me. Go read your Bible. You know, even if I'm wrong, I don't need to hear it from you. You say, well, that's a proud statement. No, that person needs to be humbled. Because the Bible says that a novice is lifted up with pride. And what I've noticed is the less people know, the more they think they know. And the more people know about the Bible, the more they realize, I don't know anything. The more you read the Bible, the more you realize, this is an infinite book. The more you read the Bible, the more you realize, I don't know anything. The more you read the Bible, the more you realize, I got to study the Bible. The more you read the Bible, the more you realize, there's so much in this book. And then people have never read their Bible, listened to a few sermons, and they want to tell everybody and correct everybody about everything, and they have no clue what they're talking about. Because a novice is lifted up with pride, is what the Bible says. So what's the key? To read your Bible. See, here's what I know. Sometimes people ask me, what's your agenda? What's the program for Verity Baptist Church growth? Let me tell you what the program is for our church growing in 2016. Our church has grown every year. We started 5 years ago. We started with, you know, like 8 people, you know. And every year the church has grown. And today our attendance is a little lower because of the rain, but that's fine. But, you know, God has blessed us and God is growing our church. Say, well, what's the plan for growth in 2016? Here's the plan for growth in 2016. If I can get you to read your Bible, here's what I know will happen. The sin will get out of your life. The wickedness will get out of your life. And you'll become a more spiritual, a more godly person. And here's what I know. See, a church, it's like anything. If it's healthy, it'll grow. I don't have to look at my children and just go to them every day and say, grow, grow. You can do it, Joshua. Just grow, you know. But here, I just got to make sure they get fed. Got to make sure they get proper exercise and diet. I just got to make sure that they're healthy. I just make sure that they're taken care of, and they'll grow. You know, those of you that like to plant, you know, gardens, you don't go out to that rose bush and say, grow, rose, grow. Just make sure it gets the soil it needs, to get the water it needs, get the sun it needs, and it'll grow. See, I don't sit there and go, Verity Baptist Church, grow. I just want to make sure that you're healthy spiritually. That your marriages are strong, that your finances are strong, that your fitness is strong, that you're growing in the Lord, that you're reading your Bible, that you're praying, that you're developing. And I know this. I just believe this. If we're spiritually growing, God will grow our church. He'll build a church. He'll add as is needed. But you need to be, that's why we start the new year every year. 9 chapters a day. Here's what we do. We challenge the entire church. Say, will you read 9 chapters of the Bible every day from the New Testament in the month of January? You'll get 2 grace period days off, you know, grace periods in case you get a little behind. But will you commit today to say, I will read the Bible. I will read the Bible. And here's what we do every year. Everyone who reads the Bible will make a plaque. And we have these plaques out in the foyer if you've never seen them. And it's interesting to look at these plaques when you see them out in the foyer. Because you'll see, like, the first plaque, it had, like, 8 names on it, you know. And then, you know, as the church grows, this plaque, this is last year's plaque, I think this has, like, 43 names on it, you know. And in 2016, we want a bigger plaque want more names on that plaque. We want you to read. I want to challenge you this morning. Will you read the Bible? Will you commit to read the Bible? And let me just speak to my hyper-spiritual crowd who says, you know, well, I don't think you should read the Bible to get your name on a plaque. Here's what I've noticed about people who say that. They don't read the Bible. So why don't you just go ahead and read your Bible, and we won't put your name on the plaque. We'll just put anonymous, you know, but just do it anyway, all right? So, you know, oh, you shouldn't be doing it to be seen of men. Okay, we won't put your name on the plaque, but just read your Bible. 9 chapters a day. I want to challenge you. Will you read 9 chapters a day? But let me say this, because in 2016, we want to grow spiritually, grow spiritually. There are some of you in our church who have read your Bible cover to cover 5 times. There are people in our church that have read their Bibles cover to cover way more times than 5 times, and I thank the Lord for it. And I praise, and I think that's great, you know? I praise the Lord for that. But let me talk to you about those of you who have read your Bible cover to cover 5 times. You should consider memorizing the Bible. You should consider memorizing Scripture, you know? And here's the thing with memorizing Scripture. People get it all wrong about memorizing Scripture. And you can always tell when someone first starts memorizing Scripture, they have no clue what they're doing. Because people think it's about memorizing the Bible. And let me tell you something. And those of you that have memorized big sections of the Bible, you'll know what I'm saying is true. Memorizing is easy. Memorizing the Bible is super easy. Here's the difficult part. Retaining it. See, it's not about, we shouldn't call it Bible memorization, we should call it Bible retention, okay? And the Bible says, the Bible talks about memorizing. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God says if you memorize the Bible, he'll make your way prosperous, he'll give you success, he will bless you. But here's the thing about memorizing the Bible. You've got to focus on the retention. When I first started memorizing the Bible, I can tell you right now, I literally have chapters of the Bible that I memorized that I could not quote for you today because I lost them. Because here's the problem with here's what you got to understand about your memory. You have a short-term memory and a long-term memory. Your short-term memory just has facts in it that your mind says that doesn't matter. Everything initially goes to your short-term memory. That's why I don't even know half of your names. I'm just kidding. I know most of your names. You know, but it's because, you know, you learn all these things all the time. But as your mind realizes, oh, I'm going to use this information on a regular basis, it'll get transferred to your long-term memory. That's why some of you can, you know, you can give us your address from when you were a child, right? You can give us your phone number from your first phone. Because it got transferred from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. So here's how you do that in Bible memorization. You don't worry as much about memorizing Scripture. You focus more on retaining Scripture, all right? And here's what I do, and I just want to explain this to you. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. When I memorize the Bible, what I do is I take a verse, and I write it on a 3x5 card. And, you know, what I'll do is I'll kind of look at that verse and review it. And I'll just review it. And I didn't come up with this. Brother Daryl actually gave me a book about this a few years ago. And I've been doing it ever since. And it's been great. But he didn't write the book. But he just let me borrow it. But, you know, on that card, I'll review that card. And then I'll turn it around. And my goal is to be able to say that verse word perfect 25 times. And I'll just write it on there, the date and the fact that I said 25 times. And, you know, you'll use a little stick things, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'll do 25 times. And here's what I'll do the next day. I'll take that same card, and I won't look at the verse. I'll just try to remember that verse. And maybe I won't remember it exactly, so I'll turn it around. I'll review it a little bit. And then once I have it down again, I'll turn around, and then I'll quote it word perfect 20 times. See, the goal is to get it from your short term to your long term. And then the next day, I'll do it again 15 times. The next day, I'll do it again 10 times. The next day, I'll do it again 5 times. The next day, I'll do it again just one time, and then I'll review that verse once a day for the next 45 days. So I look at that verse for 50 days. And, you know, at first it doesn't take a long time, but now right now it takes me like 40 minutes to go through my memory verses because you have all these verses you're going through. Once you've done that for 50 days, you basically have the verse memorized without even trying. But then what I'll do is I'll write a date on it. Once I hit that 50-day mark, I'll look at my calendar 7 days ahead. I'll write that. I'll put it away for 7 days. 7 days later, I'll pull it out and try to remember it and try to quote it. Once I do that, I'll do it again 14 days later. After that, I'll put it on a monthly rotation, and I just rotate my memory verses as I review them, you know, for months. And here's the problem with memorizing the Bible. It's a lot of work. But here's what I found. People will boast and brag about how many verses they have memorized, but then they can't quote any of them. Because it's not about memorizing the Bible. It's about retaining the Bible. And let me give some advice for your homeschool moms. You ought to be memorizing the Bible with your children. My wife has been memorizing the Bible with my kids for years. And here's what she does. She'll memorize like a new verse a week, maybe two verses a week, not a lot, because they're young children. And she'll just review that verse with them every day till they get it. And they'll work through an entire chapter. Once they have that entire chapter memorized, they'll just quote that chapter every day for however long, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it takes for her to feel like they grasped it, like they got that. And then she'll put that on a rotation. Well, they'll rotate, like on Monday, they just review all the, I think on Monday, she does all the soul-winning verses. So she's got like 13 soul-winning verses that our kids have learned on how to present the gospel. On Tuesday, she has all these doctrinal verses about eternal security, about the Trinity, about, you know, just doctrines that we want our kids to know, verses about how alcohol is bad and fornication is bad. And then, like, I think on Wednesday, they'll do, like, Psalm 23. And then on Thursday, they have another chapter. And on Friday, they'll have something else. And then the next Monday, they'll have something else. And even sometimes she has stuff in there that's not Bible memorization, but it's Bible facts, like, you know, memorizing the books of the Bible. You know, those are all good things for kids to learn. But here's what you got to focus on. You've got to make sure you focus on retention. Because I'm not impressed with people. I memorized the entire book of Revelation. Can you quote it? Well, I memorized it last year and I lost it. Then you wasted your time. You know, you want to focus on the retention. And let me go ahead and say something to our homeschool families, because our church has a lot of homeschoolers in it. If you are taking the time to make sure your kids know math and English and science and they're scholarly, and you're not reading the Bible with them and you're not helping them learn the Bible, you are a failure. You are failing. Your primary job, my primary concern with my children, the first thing my kids do, what my wife does with them when they homeschool, is they go through the Bible. They read the Bible. They go through their memory verses. That is the most important thing. And it's a failure if they get out of there and they know all this knowledge about the world and they don't know the Bible. And that applies in everything. You know, my kids are learning the piano. Miss Michelle teaches our kids the piano. My kids can't play for you one Mozart, one Beethoven. I don't want them to. I could care less. I want them to know how to play those old hymns. Because I want them to use their talents for that. And if you're teaching your kids an instrument and you're not teaching them how to play hymns, you're failing. You say, yeah, well, I want them to learn Beethoven. Why? A bunch of those guys are a bunch of sodomites anyway. Why do you want to learn all that music? And if they know that music, that's fine. I don't care. But you ought to be using and training your children. These kids are going to be the next pastors. These kids are going to be the next future leaders, the next pastor's wives that are going to, you know, go and reach the world. They're going to be what continues on this movement. Let's make sure they know the Bible. Let's make sure they memorize the Bible. Let's make sure they know how to play those old hymns. Let's make sure they know how to go soul winning. Let's make sure we train them in those things. But here's the key with Bible memorization. Memorizing the Bible is not impressive. Retaining the Bible, that's work, and that's impressive. So why should you search the Scripture every day? Number one, to not be led astray. Number two, to not live in sin. Number three, to not lack strength. Let's